Blog Talk Radio.
Notes. You're going to want to jot down scriptures. I have a lot of scriptures that we're going to be going over tonight, but there's a purpose and a plan for this all. God is amazing. This, you know, with every great adversity, there's an equal or greater reward. And this week for me has been a week of adversity. This week, well, actually for the last 2 weeks, has been a week of adversity. And the, you know, have you ever been going through life, and life has just been great. You haven't had any opposition. You haven't gone through anything. You don't have any reason to think that you're stressed or depressed or any of those adjectives that the world would cause us to use. And then all of a sudden, something begins to happen, and you, out of nowhere, and you're wondering why. You know, why am I getting sick in my body? Why am I worrying? Why am I doubting? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that all of a sudden? And when you sit back and you think, why could this be happening? There is nothing on the list of concerns that you could point out because there's no concerns. Amen. And so that kind of happened on me on tonight. I mean, not tonight, but over the last couple of weeks. And so I don't know about you all, but with Coach D, anytime I'm going through a storm, anytime I'm going through struggle, if I'll be still long enough, that's the time when God ministers the most to me. That's the time when he shows himself mighty. That's the time where I can really get a revelation from him. And that's what's been going on for the last week and a half, even though I tried to preoccupy my mind with other things and, you know, other desires of my flesh or desires of my mind or desires of my heart. In other words, the flesh might have desired other things, but God was speaking loud and he was speaking clear. So we're going to get into the word on tonight. Again, I recommend that you get a pen. If you know someone that is constantly spending their life trying to be happy, constantly spending their lives working 12, 13, 14 hours, constantly spending their life trying to keep up with the Joneses, constantly spending their life not fertilizing their own lawn. If you know anybody like that that's going through some stuff and they are, depression, I want you to hear this. Ooh, Holy Spirit. Depression is the absence of perceived happiness. Depression is the absence of perceived happiness. Woo! And we're going to get into that. That's deep. That is deep. I want to say that just one more time because that wasn't pre-planned. That was strictly the Holy Spirit. God, the presence of God is near. And so depression is the absence of perceived, I'm writing this down now, happiness. I guarantee you on tonight, if you buckle your seatbelt and you diligently attend, meaning pay close attention, you will leave here on tonight with a different mindset. You will leave here on tonight with joy, and that's the goal. The goal tonight is that some way we will find God's joy. And that we will not be consumed trying to chase happiness. Amen? Because happiness is temporal. Happiness could change in a moment. I'm happy right now. I'm happy. But I could blink my eye and all of a sudden I'm not happy no more. Because anything could happen to change our happiness. But there's not a lot. It takes great work to change our joy. Because joy is from the inside out, and happiness is from the outside in. So let me just get into the word. Woo, I'm excited on tonight. I'm giving myself a virtual hand clap, but I'm excited. So let's just get to the word. Get your Bibles out. Let's get to the word, and we're going to build the foundation that we're going to be going from. I'm going to try to make this simple on tonight. I'm going to make it simple because we're going to build a foundation based on the word of God. That's number one. Three pointers here. We're going to build a foundation. We always have this. I don't care what you're building in life. If you're building, everything needs a foundation. So tonight we're going to build a foundation. Why? Because we need something to stand on. We always want to stand on the word of God. And that's what we're going to build a foundation with on tonight. So we're going to build a foundation. That's one. Two, we're going to get to nine critical points on tonight. Nine critical points of where we're gonna be or where we're trying to be. Amen. And then number three, we're gonna close it out. So we're gonna make this to the point. I don't know if this is gonna take 30 minutes. I don't know if it's gonna take 10 minutes. I don't know if it's gonna take an hour. We don't know. I'm gonna let the Holy Spirit move us. I'm not gonna try to dictate what it is, but however long it takes for the Holy Spirit to get his point across, that's how long it's gonna take. Amen. So let's just get to the word, and we're gonna start off with Galatians, and that's gonna be the foundation we're gonna build on tonight. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Galatians 5, and we're going to start in chapter 22, and we're going to go through to 23. And I want, let's see, this is going to be a study tonight. This is not going to be no whole lot of ministering to the emotions, whooping and hollering. We're going to just get the unadulterated word of God. We're going to process through this word. We're going to chew on it. We're going to digest it. We're going to let it get in our system, and we're going to let it nurture us. Amen. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law." Father God, just that simplicity of your word, Father God, use this word, minister to our spirits. Father God, that we will walk out not the same as we walked in. Lord, we pray for your joy, that our joy would be full, Father. Lord, that we would no longer be slaves to chasing happiness. But Father God, that we will understand that greater are you in us than all the things on the outside of us. So Father God, we just thank you and we welcome you in the studio on tonight. Have your way, Father God. Allow your very presence to be known. Father God, that we will get it, that we will not just be hearers of your word, but Father God, that we will be doers, that we will learn how to apply. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that was simplistic, Galatians 5 and 22. It was simplistic. It told us about the fruits of the Spirit. And as I was reading the fruits of the Spirit on tonight, as I was preparing to tonight for tonight's message, nothing in the fruits of the Spirit said nothing about happiness. And yet we as humans put so much on happiness. I don't find it surprisingly that when you ask somebody, what are you looking for? And I guarantee you that 90% of the time people say they're looking for happiness. I just want to be happy. And that's so sad when you think about if our life was merely just about being happy. It's sad. Why? Because happiness is fleeting. It's temporal. It's not even permanent. It's not eternal. It can change. Happiness is like facts. Facts change. Happiness is not even a principle. And yet, most people seek happiness. And so tonight, I believe that through the word of God, I'm hoping that we'll see that we no longer want to be consumed with happiness and what makes us happy. We want to be consumed with the joy of the Lord, because that's where our strength comes from. Joy is that thing that is present even when everything else is in chaos. Joy is that thing that even though things are not like this, joy is okay. Joy is the thing that happens whether it's raining or whether it's sunny. Joy is the thing that maintains. Because it's not based, joy is not based on an emotion. It's not based on a feeling. It's not based on circumstances or situations. Joy says, I'm okay. Lord, whatever you're going to do, I trust you and I'm okay. And that's where he wants and he desires us to be. He desires us to be in joy. He gave 9 pointers, you know, that I'm going to go over tonight. And I'm going to go over these pointers with scripture. Now, this is a lot of scripture tonight. This is not usual, but I want to do this. I believe that the Lord, not I want to do this. Let me stop saying I, but I believe this is the direction that the Lord is having us going in tonight, because a lot of people are unhappy. A lot of people are unhappy. And as I said earlier, that depression is the absence of perceived happiness. Most people are depressed because they think they're not happy or what they consider or perceive to be happiness. So a lot of people are committing suicide. A lot of people are getting caught up on drugs, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual abuse, because they're searching after happiness. I don't know if you know, but I've never been a drug addict, but I've listened to people that have had addictions, and the thought process is there that they're always trying to get back to that initial high. Thank you, Jesus. I've never been a drug addict, but I experienced something this week that gave me, I guess I came as close to being a drug addict as I possibly could without being a drug addict. And I went through some challenges this week where all of a sudden my body acted like it was beginning to shut down and my blood pressure shot up. Let me just put it for the record so you'll understand when I'm sharing this, the dynamic and the miracle in it. I don't have any health issues. I don't take any, thank you, Jesus. I don't take any kind of medication for health issues, blood pressure, diet, none of that stuff. Praise God, hallelujah. But this last week, I was suffering with high, when my blood pressure was shot out, and they couldn't get my blood pressure down. It was causing headaches, and it was causing, causing me to be dizzy and occasions of faint. And so when I went into, I had went into urgent care, and a day later, I was rushed into emergency. I'm being transparent because if I'm not giving the, I ain't giving the devil no room. You hear me? None whatsoever in the name of Jesus. So I was rushed into the hospital, and I'm in the hospital, and it's obvious that I'm in pain. They can see I'm in pain. My blood pressure's all out of the roof. My body is tensed up. They could tell, visual signs. They could tell by, they could touch your body and feel the hardness of it. Your body's tensed up. Your blood pressure. Then they do a triage. Triage is your heart, your blood pressure, your vitals. So they're doing the vitals, and one of the key things, I didn't have temperature or nothing, but my blood pressure. So that's an indication something's going on. And so I've got this blood pressure, and I'm complaining about my head. I've already, had a pass-out moment, a fainting spell, and now they're trying to figure out what's going on. So now I'm doing CAT scans. They're checking my brain. They want to make sure everything's going on in my brain, because when you're talking about blood pressure, when you're talking about headaches, when you're talking about passing out, when you're talking about dizziness, generally they want to make sure at my age that this is not indicative of a stroke, that I'm not having some type of stroke or heart issues. And so I'm going through all of this, and they gave me pain medicine through an IV. That pain medicine is not working. I'm still on the level. If the scale is 1 to 10, I'm telling them it's a 12, right? Pain medicine is not working. And so there's a moral to the story. Hang with me on this. And so they give me morphine. And the nurse was a great nurse, and I say she was a great nurse because she literally described each moment of the process. And as she's shooting this morphine in this IV, I start feeling some stuff. And the first thing I felt was fear, because I felt this heavy pressure on my chest. And I'm telling her, oh, no, something's going wrong. I could feel pressure in my chest. I think I'm having an allergic reaction. And she said, no, you're going to feel pressure in your chest. And she said, soon you're going to feel your headache go to the back of your head. I mean, she was describing it step by step by step. And because she was describing it, it gave me a little comfort. Okay, she's calling it out. This is normal. Because otherwise I would have thought, oh, something's not right. But there was a point in time after the fear, after the pain, became a time where there was comfort. And when I tell you I felt good, I'm just keeping it real. My flesh felt good. I felt no pain. I felt comfortable. Life as I knew it did not exist. I was carefree. Thank God that the Spirit of God was still conscious in me, because I remember the Spirit of God speaking, and as the Spirit was speaking, I was speaking, and I remember saying, I understand now why people are addicted, because it felt good. So why I shared that story, or why the Holy Spirit allowed me to share that story, is going to be for somebody. It's going to be for somebody. But I'm sharing what I went through. And even with the feeling of I guess that would be considered utopia. I felt utopia. I felt the separation of this presence of reality. And I guess some people would say I was happy. I was happy. So I don't know where I went there for it. Laura, thanks for bringing me back, remembering this happiness or whatever this feeling was of that. But anyway, saying all that to say is that I didn't realize after the fact until I began to heal, I realized. And, you know, as believers, we don't like to use certain words. We don't want to claim anything. But the reality of it was if I could be transparent, because you know what? We can't fool God. And so the reality of it was that I was dealing with stress. I was dealing with stress. And if I wouldn't have been careful, the next thing you know, the next adjective would have been depression. And both of those were based on the absence of perceived happiness. Amen. So what we perceive as happiness, and many of us perceive that in finances, or I want to work harder, or I want to work longer because I want to make more money. I want to make more money because I want bigger and better things. I want bigger and better things because I'm trying to make my family happy. I want my family to be happy because if the family happy, then I'm going to be happy. And the list goes on. And oftentimes what we find is we spend hours of working overtime, double time, triple time to make enough money to buy the things that we think supplies our happiness, and ultimately it ends our happiness. How many people have worked triple trying to purchase homes and beautiful cars, and yet you're doing this for a family that you never see? Because why? You're working. You're always working. So you're not spending time with your kids. You're not spending time with your wife. So the kids are running amok because they have no supervision and guidance. Your wife or your spouse is now feeling lonely, feeling like they're not getting what they need. So then they're going to start looking for other places to get what they need. And generally that's in another person. So look at the happiness pattern. You all doing, and all this is in the name of happiness. All this is in the name of happiness. And it's not true. It's perceived. It's perceived. Because what if I told you that your perception of happiness is these things? And what if I told you you could be just as content? Because happiness in our perceived ideas is contentment. But what if I told you you could be just as content with loving relationships, vertical alignment, and peace of mind? Because really what we say is happiness, but that's not really what most of us really want. That's what we say with our mouth. But in our spirit, in our heart, what we're really looking for is peace. We're looking for peace. We're looking to be loved. And we're looking to be appreciated. Those are three key factors that we're looking for. But yet and still, we're constantly spinning our wheels looking for this thing called happiness. Let's get to these nine things I want to go over. And I'm going to get to the point. Let's go to these nine things, and we're going to discuss them. Jot them down. Don't believe me. Jot the scriptures down. Jot it down. Go back and study for yourself, because it's time for us to get away from happiness. It's time for us to experience joy. It's time for us to experience joy. So the first one I want to go over is gratitude. Gratitude is important. This is something that, believe it or not, this is something that God requires of us. He wants us to be grateful. And many times people are not grateful. People wake up, they're going about their day, they go through their day, they go to work, they stress, they complain, they fuss, they come back home, they angry at home, they frustrated, they tired, everything, and never even acknowledge that they're grateful. Why? Grateful that they even had an opportunity to wake up. Grateful that they have a roof over their head. Grateful that they have shelter, clothing, and food. These are things we take for granted. and we're just not grateful. And it's a grateful attitude. It's being grateful that moves God. Faith moves God, but it's even with faith, it's gratitude. I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord. Waking up in the morning and saying, thank you, God. Thank you that you woke me up this morning. Thank you that though I went through all of this stuff, though I went through the headaches and the pains and the aches and stuff, thank you, Father, that I'm still alive. Thank you that I didn't get a report. You know how many people are getting reports every day about other stuff that's serious? Thank you that none of my tests came back with that report. Attitude of gratitude. According to 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to read it because I think it's going to be important for us to understand the scripture on it. And I'm going to go through and read each one. It's going to take a minute, but I want us to understand it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it tells us, give thanks when? Only when things are good. Give thanks when? Only when all the bills are paid. Only when I'm in a healthy relationship. It says, no, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, period. So 1 Thessalonians tells us to be grateful. Give thanks in all situations, circumstances, doesn't matter. Give thanks. The next one is number 2, silence. In silence, I'm going to go to Psalms. Psalms 46:10, it tells us to be still. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that he's God. When we're in the hustle and bustle of life and we're working and we're spending more time doing other things and we're spending with the, being still, be still. I tell you that most of my revelations, most times that I'm ministered to is in those silent times when it ain't nobody but me and God. And I'm just sitting still. See, and I'm not even talking about praying. Because we are supposed to pray. Pray without ceasing. But there's a moment of silence where you're not asking God for nothing. You're not asking God for nothing, but you're just sitting in his presence. And I guarantee you, when you master being able to just sit in his presence is the moment where he gives you clarity. It's the moment where he begins to minister to you. It's the moment where I call it worship, where you're still in his presence, and this is when he's talking to you. You're no longer talking to him. And, honey, I'm telling you, I would rather be in his presence than him speaking to me than me speaking to him about what I want him to do, what I need him to do, because when I'm in his presence, he's talking to me, he's telling me what he's going to do. Glory. So again, number 2 was Psalm 46:10, be still and know that he's God. Number three, I'm going to take us to Matthew. We're going through a journey, and it's a purpose for this, because sometimes when we're going through some stuff, we may not remember scripture, but sometimes when we're going through some stuff, it's good to be able to pull up scripture and say, oh, yeah, okay, Lord, I hear you. It's his word. It's his word that ministers to us, right? It's his word. It's not our word. It's the word of God. And when we have a relationship with God and we're in the word of God, the presence of God should be there. So this is his word. Number 3, it says, love yourself. But I say, love God, love others, which is the perfect alignment to loving yourself. When we love God with everything, according to Matthew, it said, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So when we love God with all of our heart, all of our souls, and all of our mind, and then he said, this is the first and greatest command, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when we love in God and we love in our neighbors, we're in alignment for loving ourselves. Sometimes I believe that the world got it twisted and it speaks the same language, but it has different meanings. And when it's speaking the same language and it has different meanings, that means that the world is teaching us self-love, self-this, self-that, and it got us all consumed in self. I said, man, being narcissistic is teaching us how to be it. And it really ain't about self. It's really not about self. I was going through this week having these trials and tribulations, and I remember a friend called me and said, hey, I ain't heard from you in a while. What's going on? And I was, you know, we have a pity party, and I was like, oh, you know, I've been going through this. I'm going through that, you know, and I was sad. And the friend said, when the last time you did something for somebody else? And I'm like, I'm always doing something for somebody else. So I was a little irritated. I'm always doing something for somebody else. But the point that they were making in this conversation is, if you're busy serving other people, if you're busy loving other people, if you're busy loving God, then you ain't even got no time to think about yourself. You ain't got no time to think about what you don't have, what you want. You don't have time for it. And normally when we're going through depression or we're going through all this other stuff, it's because we're being self-consumed. We're out of purpose. You have to follow other shows. If you're a first-time listener, you need to follow the show about purpose, and then you'll know what I mean by you're out of purpose. So sometimes we're out of purpose. We're out of alignment. And when we're out of alignment, it makes it very easy to look at what we don't have. It makes it very easy to look at what we're going through. It makes it very easy to feel like we're not happy based on our perception. And so when the friend said that, it irritated me because the enemy didn't want to hear that. No, yes, of course. The enemy didn't want to hear that because the enemy doesn't want to hear the truth. The enemy would rather hear a lie. Amen? So again, so we have number one is gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Number two is silence. Psalms 46:10. Number three is love God, love others, which is the perfect alignment to loving yourself. And we base that on Matthew 22:37-39. Number four, have fun. There is something that the religion, the Christianity religion, don't want to have fun. We get stuffy. We get holier than thou. We get so religious that we don't know how to have fun. And God wants us to have fun. God said in his word, and I'm going to take it, Ecclesiastes. Let's go over real quick back to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes. Thank goodness for computers. Can you imagine that? We're going to go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to do verses 12 through 13. See, I'm going to keep it biblical because I don't want you to tell you what Coach D said. This. No, Coach D is telling you what the Word of God says. I'm giving you scripture. I don't want to just tell you. I want backup through scripture. You know, and so on number four, it says have fun. And the scripture that we're using for number four is Ecclesiastes 3:12-13, which says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy. Now, that's a translation. If I do it in King James, let me go to King James. Because I want to try to get as close to the original, even though we know King James is not the original either. But I want to get as close to the original version as I can. Because that word happy. It's often used out of context. Okay, so King James chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift of God. So God, right there, telling us God wants us to have fun. He wants us to enjoy our toils, everything that we worked for, everything that we've done. You know, you work on, he did, he enjoyed. He worked all the way from day one to day six, and on the seventh day, he rested. He looked at what he did. He said, what I did is good. And he rested. That wouldn't be relevant if he didn't, he wants us to have fun. This is not about this religion thing that we're caught up in. God wants a relationship. The garden in Genesis 3 shows us that. It wasn't that God just came in the garden tripping. God came in the garden, and God was hurt because Adam was tripping. Adam was the one that was hiding. Adam was the one that wasn't obedient. Adam did this. God was looking for Adam. And Adam was hiding. It wasn't God hiding. God didn't come in the garden. And God didn't come in the garden just then. Yeah, I see you did this, yes, Santa. I see you did. He didn't come in the garden saying that. He asked Adam. Dude, we've been kicking it for weeks. I'm using language. But we got to hear it. We got to see it. Now, we've been chilling. We've been chilling in the cool of the day. We've been kicking it for centuries. I don't know how long the time periods were. But we've been killed. We homies. And then the one day I come, every day we come, we meet at the same place, the same time. And yet I come this time, and you're not there. You know, I can't find you. Hide it. Meaning, I can't say I can't find you, but you're acting different. So, you know, let's know we know God is God, right? So it ain't because he couldn't find, even though Adam was hiding and all that. Hey, God can see him. You know what I'm saying? Just like he see us when we hiding. You know, he see everything we do. He see when you what you doing in the late night. You ain't fooling him. He see how you act. He know what's on your mind. The enemy can't read our minds, but God can. He know when we being ugly. He know when we acting in jealousy and rage. He know when we allowing the lust of our flesh to overtake the spirit. He knows that stuff. So we not hiding nothing from him. Just like Adam wasn't hiding nothing from him. Probably had Adam came on out when he was questioning him. You know, I got an imagination of this. I often tell my boys, I'm a mother of two sons, grown sons, and I always tell them, I used to always tell them, if I ask you the question, because I already know. So you have a choice right now, before you answer me, you have a choice to tell the truth, or you have a choice to tell not the truth. Because most likely if I'm asking you, because I've already did the research, I've already did what I needed to do to know the answer. Now I'm just waiting for you to confirm it, right? And it was the same thing with God. Adam had, at this point, Adam had put himself in a place of being able to make a choice. And Adam could have came out and said, you know what? I tripped. You told me not to do something. I did it. And, you know, can you just forgive me? And I just wonder what dynamics would have taken place had that happened like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I often think about that. What would have happened had Adam just been, had he just laid on the line, you know what? I blew it. I messed up. And the reason I think about what would have happened is because as I continue to read in the Old Testament, I think about the life of David and so many others, the life of most people who kept blowing it. And David blew it constantly. It didn't make it okay. It didn't say it's cool for him to blow it because there's consequences. There's consequences. David had to suffer some consequences, and yet he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. So I believe that God needs our hearts to be pliable. Why? Because when our hearts remain pliable, then God could come in and he could mold some things. He could remove some things. He could change some things. He could reform some things. It's when the Bible speaks about our hearts becoming hardened. And if it becomes too hard, he says he turns it over to a reprobate mind. So he wants our heart to be pliable. He wants to be able to come in and use us and change some things around. He wants to be able to do that. And that's what and David's heart remained pliable. David was a man after God's own heart because David had a repentant heart. He had a repentant heart. Amen. I'm lingering on that. So having fun. So number five, we're going to deal with engage your body in the battle of joy. Engage your body. So we want to get used to not only experiencing joy, but we want to get operating in joy. We want to get used to operating in joy. We want that to become our thing. Instead of us seeking and searching and trying to find happiness, we really want to start trying to make experience joy, because that's something that's not based on circumstances. That's something that we want to experience. Deuteronomy 28 and 47 says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. So we want to be joyful. So joyful is connected to the abundance of all things. Joyfulness is connected to the abundance of all things. It's easy to have, according to number one, that tells us gratitude, it's easy to be grateful when you operate in a spirit of joy. Because why? Joy is not moved by what I don't have. And when you got joy and you're not moved by what you don't have, it's easy to be grateful for what you do have. So we want to start practicing joy. One of the ways I started practicing joy is I was at a company for 16 years, 17 years, and I left it, you know, I called myself retiring early, you know, I called myself retiring early, and I had no intention of going back to work. Many of you know that story. I won't go back over it. But I ended up having to go back to work, and I worked for a company for a couple of years, and that company was, you know, okay, I experienced that. And then I left that company and ended up going to another company. And situations and things didn't change. Circumstances didn't change. You know, it was some of the same behavior, some of the same spirit. So what I did different at the second one that I didn't do at the first one is at the first one I complained. I identified every issue. I seen the issues. I complained about the issues. I let the issues stress me. I let the issues cause me to not feel happiness. Remember, happiness is the absence of perceived happiness is depression. So I let it depress me because I didn't perceive, you know, what I perceived as being happy was not happening. And so when I went to the next company, I learned, right? But see, all it takes is a situation for you to learn something from a situation. What do you mean, Coach D? What I mean is that in that first company, because I allowed it to begin to dictate my happiness and I was looking for happiness or what I perceived as being the absence of happiness, which is depression, we determined that, I allowed it to cause me to leave the company, right? And it only took me leaving the company and having 6 months of no income. I'm going to talk some real stuff. Having 6 months of no income, and for some reason, I can't find, I'm more than qualified, but I can't find a job. Okay, I'm speaking to somebody on tonight. So for 6 months, I'm no income. I can't find a job. I can't get an unemployment because, remember, I quit. So I can't get unemployment. I'm fighting to get my unemployment. But I have no income, no job. And, honey, if you think you're depressed, being somewhere where you got an income coming in, try not having an income coming in. And I'm sharing this with somebody because somebody needs to hear it, because sometimes we'll jump off the frying pan into the fire. Somebody may be on the verge of getting ready to make a decision based on their emotions, based on their absence of perceived happiness. And you need to be on this show tonight. You needed to hear this tonight because you need to understand that it's only perceived. Happiness is fleeting. It's temporal. It don't last. And if you get ready to leave a marriage, or you supposed to leave a job, or you supposed to leave a situation because you're not happy, you better look at it again. Because maybe you should not be leaving at all. Maybe you need to make sure that you're not experiencing absence of perceived happiness. And you need to find out, what about this situation brings me joy? My job now, same situations as the last job, the same deterioration, all the negative things of the last. But the difference is that I got a grateful attitude. And when I start stressing and when I start thinking about some stuff that I feel ain't right, the first thing I start telling myself is, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And I begin to I can see, feel my joy being restored because I'm grateful. Not because the circumstances change, not because the situation changed, but because I'm grateful. And because I'm grateful and I'm telling myself I'm grateful, it begins to change the atmosphere. Because there was a saying of that people used to say, it's not biblical, but it's, you know, but it's a good saying. And they used to say, God grant me to accept the things I cannot change. And what is the other part? Y'all know it. Accept the things I cannot change is another part of that. In other words, just be at peace. You know, accept what you can change. And what you can change, change it. What you can't change, accept it. And so that's what that attitude of gratefulness. And yet you can understand now why 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you can understand why I think about having gratitude, being grateful. And so I started being grateful, and it began to change my thought process about the situation I'm in. It took me, and I was doing that, but it took, you know, sometimes we miss the mark in your body or whatever, starts feeling the pain of it all, but be grateful is the point of this. Engage your body in battle for joy. Be in battle for joy. Stay, you know, practice joy. And practicing joy would say practice gratitude. Be silent in the presence of the Lord. Love the Lord your God with everything. And love your neighbors, because this is perfect alignment to loving yourself. Amen. Have fun. Ecclesiastes tells, have fun. Enjoy. If you work hard, play hard. Play hard if you work hard. Enjoy life. Have fun. That's God's gift to us, according to Ecclesiastes. It's his gift to man. Number six. I know I'm moving along here. Number six. Make friends. John 15:13 tells us something about friends. You know, we know that that Jesus called us his friends, right? And so we know it's an importance of friends. We hear so many negative things about, I ain't got no friends, my circle is small. But when you got good friends, when you got a real friend, we use that word loosely, friend. Oh, that's my friend, especially with social media. Oh, this is my friend. That's my Facebook friend. That's my Snapchat, you know, whatever, all the Snapchat, Instagram, all these friends. But the word of God tells us in John 15:13 that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, you can't just say, that's my friend or I'm their friend. There's an action that is required with friends, with friendship. And friendship, the action is required. It's love. Laying down your life. When you think about laying down your life, yes, the first picture to come in your mind is that you'll jump in front of somebody that's getting ready to take a bullet, right? But let's make it more realistic than that. More realistic than that is a friend. Love. According to 1 Corinthians 13, a friend loves without condition. We know that the definition of love is contending for another good in every situation until it becomes a manifestation. So that means that I'm your friend. If I'm your friend, I'm going to love you unconditionally to the best of my ability to do so. That means I'm going to be there for you to the best of my ability to be there. I mean, I can't give you what I don't have, but what I have, I give you. That's a friend. A friend is somebody that if you're going through something, you could pick up the phone and you could call them, and they may not always tell you what you want to hear, but they're going to tell you what you need to hear. You trust them. You trust them with your life. That's a friend. And it's sin. Make friends. It's okay. God never meant for us to be isolated. Yes, in the Word of God, it talks about, you know, it talks about God said it's not good for man to be alone, and he brought him a woman. We know that story. But I think even in it, yes, it's good that he brought a woman because he wanted the earth to be replenished. There was a process. There was something for that. But I also believe that men are not supposed to be alone, period. You know, This ain't about sex. This is not about the creation of earth. But one of the things that they do in corporal punishment is when somebody is acting not according to how they want them to act, the first thing they do is do what? They put them in isolation because it breaks them. It breaks them down, and that's their way of punishing. What we're going to do, you know, because they know. The enemy knows. You know, when he left, he didn't leave. When he got kicked out of heaven, he didn't get kicked out of heaven by himself. It was a whole bunch of them that went with him. But it's a known fact. It's a human dynamic that most people don't want to be isolated. But we as Christians, that is supposed to be the perfect time for us. As a believer, someone who has an intimate personal relationship with God, they want to be alone. Ooh, let me be alone. They do want to be alone because there's something in that silence and that presence with God. But the dynamics is not for us to be alone. So make friends. Number seven, rest is essential. If it wasn't essential, there would not have been a commandment to do so. So let's go here really quick and move over to Genesis. We know that scripture. We're going to move real quick. I'm not going to linger on it. But Genesis 2, chapter 2 and 3, is telling us about rest. And it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. He's telling us to rest. What I'm giving you right now, these nine pointers is to help you to restore your joy. It's to help you be at peace. It's to help you be at peace in gratitude, in silence, in love, in fun, in practicing repetitiously joyful behavior. Make friends. The seventh was rest. It's essential, according to Genesis. Also, in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11. Let's just go over there real quick. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 29. Now, we know rest. We're talking about, when we think about rest, we're thinking about sleep, or we're thinking about, but then also Matthew 11, 28 and 29 was another rest. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So he wants us to rest. And I'm talking about a rest, not just talking about going to sleep, but to rest. Number eight, serve. And that kind of aligns to me with number three, and it also aligns with number six. Three is loving God, loving others in order to love yourself, and then number six says make friends. Number eight says serve, because when we're busy serving others, Jesus spent his whole ministry down on earth serving. He was serving others in his greatness, but he was serving others. He was serving other people. He was feeding the multitude. He was ministering. He was healing. He was in service. He wasn't concerned about you calling him apostle and bishop and pastor and prophet. He wasn't concerned about his title or his entitlement. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew what he was capable of doing. He knew he had the power to deliver and heal. He knew all of that, but he wasn't trying to get no front seat role. He wasn't trying. You know, he wasn't trying to have bodyguards. He had disciples that thought they was bodyguards, and each time that they tried to operate in the spirit of being his bodyguard, he had to correct them. Peter tried to operate as his bodyguard and chopped off the soldier's ear, and he had to replace it. You know, remember they tried to keep the kids from coming, and he had to tell them, look, don't do that. These are important. The woman with the issue of blood, you know, they got mad at him because he could feel the virtue coming out. He said, oh, the virtue. And they're like, well, we got a crowd here. No, duh. But you know what I'm saying? They were always, and he always was correcting them. So he served the people. We need to be serving others, whatever that is. Whether you're in the you have a church home and you're in church and you're serving in some area in the church, or let's say you're doing something in ministry. Maybe you started your own ministry that's beyond the four walls of the church. Maybe you got a ministry that's without walls and you're out there feeding the homeless or ministering to the homeless, or that you're going to help the elderly. You know, God said in his word that one of the things is that we're so busy trying to be happy, but he's telling us, hey, feed the orphan and the widow. That's what you do. Make sure they okay. How many of us is really doing that? I know I'm not. Not when you think about orphans and widows. But that's what his word, that's what he says in his word. That's what he encourages us to do, and he's pushing us to do. Third, nine, this is the last one, and we're going to be closing out here. Number nine, it says, frame your mind around faith. Frame your mind around faith. And why do we want to do that? We, of course, could go to Hebrews 11:1. But I want to go, and I was going to go, that was my scripture of choice, was Hebrews 11:1 for us to understand what faith is. But I want to also go to Hebrews 11:6. Well, let me read it. I'm going to read 11:1-6. Okay. I'm with you guys. So we're going to go to, and we're going to end it on this. We're going to go to Hebrews 11:1-6, and I'm going to read that. Because remember, gratitude, silence, love, fun, engage, make friends, rest, serve, and we're going to end in frame our minds with faith. This is so important because this whole walk that we do as believers is based on faith. Remember, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous by testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So tonight, we understand that we are no longer in pursuit of happiness, no matter what movies the world makes, no matter what the world say, because everything is pushed about happiness. Everything is telling us we're supposed to be happy. We will divorce somebody because I was no longer happy in that relationship. We will leave jobs because I wasn't happy in that job. We are making some dumb decisions because we are basing it on our perceived idea of happiness. And God has said enough with happiness already, because joy is what you need to have. Joy is going to take you through every situation and circumstances. You can have joy when it's raining, and you can have joy when it's sunny. You can have joy when you're joyful, and you can have joy when you're sad. Joy is going to last. We no longer can be pursuing happiness, because happiness is temporal. It's fleeting. It's not lasting. It has no foundation. And we got to get away from trying to stand on shaky foundations of happiness and be okay with joy, because we know that's where the strength of the Lord is. We know that. And so we got to hold on to that, and we got to walk in that, and we got to start practicing these nine principles that God has given us that will help us restore our joy. It's work. And most of us don't want to do the work. We want to just exist. We want to do our thing. It's my thing. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be happy. Oh, why you want to have sex? Because I want to be happy. Oh, why you want to get married? Because I want to be happy. Oh, why you want to leave that job? Because I want to be happy. We're chasing something that's not God. It's what the world has told us. Commercials have told us this. We look at commercials, we look at shows, we look at movies, we look at advertising, and all of it is about happiness. And happiness, again, when we don't perceive what it is, the absence of our perception of happiness, you don't have no other choice but to be depressed. You don't have no other choice but to be stressed out. You don't have no other choice but to be angry. You don't have no other choice but to be envious and jealous. When you are absent of the perceived idea of happiness. But when you enjoy, it ain't no perceived thing. It's joy, and it's not based on the moment. It's eternal. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, Father God, that we are not happy people. But Father God, we are people that's filled with your joy and your peace that passes all understanding. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you loved us, Father, so much, Father, that you gave us a plan B, that you gave us an opportunity through your Son, Father, that we could receive the gift of salvation, Lord. Father God, I thank you that this life is really not about us, but, Father, that it's about you. And, Father God, that it's about making others aware that you have this gift for them, Lord, and that they need to receive this gift before it's too late. Father God, because we do know that it will be a too late time, Father. And Father God, I thank you that each and every person under the sound of my voice has received the gift of salvation, that they have given their lives to you, that they have confessed with their mouths, and that they truly believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord, that he came, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day. And Father God, we just thank you for that. Father God, we thank you that we are not caught and we're not entangled with the spirit of religion, Father God. We thank you, Father God, about grace and the principles of grace, Father God. We thank you. We thank you, Father God, that law couldn't save us, Father, and that's why you sent your Son. So we thank you, Lord, for grace. And we thank you that we're no longer under the law. And we thank you, Father God, that because we receive the gift of grace, Father God, that we will be mindful, Lord, that we will be mindful of all that you sacrificed, all that you've done for us, Father God. And because we are grateful for what you've done for us, Father God, it causes us to be in alignment with your will for our lives. So, Father God, we just say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for truly, Father, you are worthy. You are worthy, and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to, you know, we are at that moment. We're at the hour, but this message about joy, it takes things to a whole nother perspective. When you're not operating, trying to be happy, I'm not concerned with being happy. I have moments of happiness, and when I have it, it feels good. It's like getting high. You know what I'm saying? You get that first hit. People know it. I grew up in Compton, and I grew up in an era when by the time I got to high school, the crack epidemic had hit, and it was an epidemic that hit urban America unlike any other epidemic. Because, I mean, it took out generations of people. And, you know, when you would hear people, and I'm not bragging, it's only by God's grace. It ain't got nothing. It was by God's grace and mercy that I did not get caught up in the things that I was in. I was in them. I was in it. I was around it. But I was not of it. Amen? And I'm not bragging. I'm not the Pharisee, but it was there. And so you would hear people often say that first hit was so powerful that it that people would spend their money, they would spend, they would steal, they would beg, they would do whatever just to keep getting high, because what they was looking for was that first experience, that first utopia, that first high. And that's kind of happiness. Feel that moment, and it's only momentarily, but you feel that moment of happiness, and you start spending your whole life searching and seeking happiness. You in and out of relationships. You in and out of marriages. You in and out of jobs. You constantly searching for that high of happiness, oftentimes never finding it. And when you get it, it's just for a moment. And tonight, you're not only listening in by accident. Tonight, you're not just listening in because somebody told you it was a show. You, God, everything is preordained from the foundation, predestined from the foundation of the earth. You listening in this because you had a choice not to listen, even if somebody invited you. And you're listening in on tonight because God needed you to hear this message on tonight. Because somebody that's listening in has been dog chasing happiness, and they haven't found it. And it's left them depleted and depressed and stressed. And just feel like they don't even want to be here no more. And so you needed to hear this message tonight, because you needed to know that there's something that's better than happiness. Peace of God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And tonight you've received that joy. So walk in your strength on tonight, knowing that you are aligned with our Father who loves you. And he already gave you all the promises. He's telling you that he's giving you life and life more abundantly. He told you in Deuteronomy 28:1 that if you hearken diligently and what? Obey, that all these blessings will overtake you, that you will be blessed in the cities and in the fields. You'll be blessed coming and going. You'll be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. See, those are the things, those are the promises that come to joyful people. That's being obedient to the Lord. So you're not here by accident. You needed to hear this message on tonight. And if this message blessed you on tonight, the message will be available in about 15 minutes, and you can go back and you can listen to the recording, or you can send the recording to someone else and bless them. It's up to us to bless others. So somebody, everybody is going through something. And all that could... just one word could change a person's perception. One word could change a person's life. One word could stop somebody from pulling the trigger. Just one word from God. Not Coach D, not Minister such and such, or Apostle such and such, but just one word from somebody to say, yes, Lord, I'll tell the people. Yes, Lord, I'll deliver your message. Not because I'm special, not because I'm perfect, not because, but only because I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Amen. So again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this night's episode of Joy. And I look forward to seeing you next week on next Thursday, same time, same place. Please know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.